Last time we were together, we talked about multiculturalism and how it allows for and even encourages the differences between cultures. We're going to continue in that vein today. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Welcome back to another episode of Study, Grow, Know. And as I indicated at the top of the hour, we have been studying multiculturalism because it's part of cultural Marxism, and it's part of political correctness. And it's a big part of why America, in many ways, is failing. Now, in truth, multiculturalism, the kind that has flourished in America, has too often been seriously divisive. How do you say that? I think it's either way. Literally pitting one race or ethnicity against another. Now, what's really interesting here is rather than people wanting to become part of that new culture, for instance, those who immigrate to the United States, rather than wanting to embrace the culture that exists in America, they insist on retaining their own cultural identity in public without adopting aspects of their new culture. Now, this is especially true in instances most often of Muslims who come to this country from their third world country. They often bring that ideology of Islam with them, and that's the way they live. They wind up thumbing their nose at the culture of the country, which they say is their newly adopted country. In essence, they simply live in this new country. They've adopted nothing, though they learn how to take advantage of the system so that they can benefit themselves as they see fit. Now, what's really interesting here, at least to me, is that years ago, with the official founding of America, most people came through Ellis Island legally to gain legal entrance into America. Yes, they looked for neighborhoods in which they would hear their own language, smell the food they were familiar with, and share their common cultures with others like themselves. However, this did not mean that they refused to learn English or abide by the laws of their newly adopted country, America. In essence, while they kept, in many cases, the cultural values from where they came, they readily adopted the culture of America. This has not been the case for generations, for decades. Slowly, consistently, people who have come to this country have insisted on remaining aloof. They show their disdain for America in spite of the fact that their life here is far superior to what it was in the country from which they came. And does the phrase familiarity breeds contempt come into play here? I think so. The disdain is actually encouraged by various groups in America, and the fact that their own ethnicity is valued over and above their union with America is greater cause for concern. In short, multiculturalism has played havoc with societies where it has been tried. Unfortunately, it's become tremendously ensconced in cultures like America or Great Britain or France. And pushing back against it has become difficult at best. Now, here in America, CAIR, C-A-I-R, the Council on American Islamic Relations, I'm sure you've heard of them, that group exists to ensure that Muslims are allowed to practice their religion and live their lives as freely as possible. The Islamic ideology is allowed to flourish. And because of CAIR and other groups like them in the United States, there has been a great push to use Sharia law, which is Islamic law, within the United States courts instead of going by and placing themselves under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. This is really treasonous. Yet there are politicians who actively support this. Multiculturalism, which is simply an aspect of cultural Marxism or political correctness, as I mentioned, came to America's shores decades ago. It didn't start in the 1950s, nor did it start in the 1960s. It actually started in earnest just after World War I and just prior to the 1920s. Now, that may not seem to be the case, but it can be traced back to that time period. What we saw during the time moving from the 1950s to the 1960s was that multiculturalism or cultural Marxism and political correctness came out of the closet, so to speak. From the 1960s onward, it became much more obvious, yet it was not really connected to any recognized form of Marxism, since that term was never publicly used. Can you imagine if people had talked about cultural Marxism? Oh, my goodness. So, you can't do that. We're going to call it something else. So, instead, the safe-sounding multiculturalism or political correctness were adopted. Who could argue that we should not be sensitive, or that we should be sensitive to what we say and what we think, so we can avoid offending people who fall into groups that political correctness labeled as victims. But think of this. Consider if someone who is not familiar with the way your family worked and played came to your home. All right? They're visiting your home. Would you be expected to change your lifestyle or walk on eggshells around them while they are visiting you in your home? Would you be expected not to have certain foods around, or not to pray before meals, or not to speak in certain ways so as not to offend in your home? Wouldn't the onus be on the people visiting your home? They're in your home. And while we always want to treat guests well, the reality is that it would be completely unfair of your guests to expect you to change your routine for them, wouldn't it? Regrettably, for some time, this has been the case in many countries, including America. And it is seen most clearly with respect to the immigration of millions of Muslims to America. Dearborn, Michigan is now often referred to as Dearbornistan by many, because not only is there a very large contingent of Muslims there, but they have endeavored to take over, inserting a mentality into that culture that looks to Sharia law as the means and way of Islam. They have power in numbers, and they know it. And far from wanting to become part of America, they wish to overthrow it. Certainly not all Muslims think like this, but it's clear that too many do. And they're not so much interested in obtaining a piece of the pie, but in reality want to turn part of America in which they now dwell into an Islamic community guided by Islamic principles and Islamic law. Now, in essence, cultural Marxism is a movement that seeks the elimination of codes of behavior, binding obligations, and this is the most important part, and moral standards. Now, the statement that I just read to you appears at odds with what I've just described regarding Islam. However, cultural Marxism is used to turn things upside down so that what was traditional will ultimately be replaced by something else entirely. Islam also seeks to overthrow the traditions of a culture it moves into, and it does so by sheer numbers and even force if necessary. Now, in case you have not been paying attention, there are many within Islam that believe Islam will yet rule the world in complete autonomy. And it is to that end that they work. Now, while on one hand, cultural Marxism assumes that everyone is equal, and that's a seemingly noble cause, isn't it? It attempts to create that equality artificially by first setting up these arbitrary boundaries between races, ethnicities, and genders that wind up highlighting the majority race or ethnicity. Then, once the majority race or ethnicity has been subdued or negated through the use of political correctness, the minority races or ethnicities become the majority. But the practice of political correctness continues. Cultural Marxism. Now, because of all this, it stands to reason that certain aspects of America's founding moral code would be attacked, namely the biblical standards. conservative values. In too many cases, our founding fathers, because they were of the majority, white aristocracy, are seen as evil and oppressors of the poor. And the same argument is used today. For cultural Marxism to succeed, those who agree with the standards set by the founders of this nation then obviously need to be overthrown. This is why conservatives who are also people of color are often vilified by those on the left. Because those conservatives side with the founding fathers that, to the left, promulgated the values that they want to overthrow. But those values are part of our founding documents. Many believe that the implementation of modern-day cultural Marxism has roots in thinking and philosophy of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, 1712 to 1778. Just as today's cultural Marxism often reacts to culture from the belly of emotion, so did Rousseau. Here's what he said. Just one of the things he said. Quote, in his discourse on the origin of inequality, Rousseau started his attack at the foundation of the Enlightenment project, which was reason. That was written about him. To Rousseau, the root of civilization's moral degradation is reason. And Rousseau calls reason the original sin of humankind. This is actually the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches. It's not reason per se that gave way to the original sin, but the emotional influence of faulty reasoning. That is extremely important for us to understand. The emotional influence of faulty reasoning. Wow. Adam and Eve were tempted to eat of the tree of forbidden fruit in spite of the fact that they had been specifically told by God himself that to do so would mean certain death. Now this came to pass as they first died spiritually and also began to die physically right away. It was their emotional response to the tree's fruit and their willingness to consider the deceptive words of the tempter that caused them to disobey God by eating the fruit. It wasn't reason that caused them to sin. It was their willingness to consider the deceptive words. We call that emotional virtue today. Now, in reality, their sin began in their hearts, their emotion. They wanted to eat the fruit, so their will caused them to do it. It gave them a reason. The lust for freedom began with their emotional desire. The actual act of eating the fruit just simply prove that sin begins within the heart of a person, just as Jesus said it does in his sermon on the Mount of Matthew chapter 5. Now, had Adam and Eve persisted in obedience to God's truthful reasoning, eat and die, they would have remained sinless and would not have experienced death. It was their emotion that prompted them to give ear to their new reasoning which brought about their ultimate demise and corrupted all of God's creation. So Rousseau attacked the period known as the Enlightenment by claiming that reason is the death knell for civilization. Reasoning that leads to absolute truth is always the best way. That's what God says. Since our feelings and emotions can bring about a false perception of something, even when that something is absolute truth. So people who are guided by false perceptions are guided by emotional virtue. In American society, we recognize that our founding fathers created a country that was based on biblical principles. There is no higher truth. These principles are tested, known, and understood to be full of veracity. Reasoning cannot cause people to disown them. However, faulty reasoning not based on truth, but on emotion, can create a desire to overthrow those biblical principles. Well, that's our show for today, and that is Cultural Marxism. We're going to continue with this next time we meet, and I pray until then that God would open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.